This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, March 9th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Getting your COVID vaccination in Hotchkiss just got easier. The North Fork EMS is offering signups for an appointment during a vaccination clinic at Heritage Hall on March 12th. If you are 60 or over or meet other guidelines for Phase 1B3, you can register at deltacounty.com by clicking the top of the page where it says Delta County COVID-19 Updates and Information. Although the Black Canyon Audubon Society will not be hosting Eckert Crane Days due to the pandemic, Sandhill Cranes are arriving. According to the Audubon Society, 25% of the world's population of greater Sandhill Cranes come to Fruit Growers Reservoir each spring. The Delta County Independent reports their typical path is from the Bosque del Apache in New Mexico to Monte Vista State Wildlife Area in Colorado, on to Eckert, and finally up to Grays Lake National Wildlife Refuge near Pocatello, Idaho. That is where they breed and rear their young. Cranes will travel 200 miles per day at speeds of up to 35 miles per hour. Their numbers were in decline due to hunting and loss of habitat, but now are on the upswing thanks to protection and improved management. The best time of day to catch the newly arriving cranes is late afternoon as they fly into Hart's Basin, or mid to late morning when they take off. New groups arrive most days from early March to mid-April and typically only stay one day. The Aspen Santa Fe Ballet has dissolved its dance company and will not return after the pandemic. The Aspen Times reports the 25-year-old company performed roughly 100 ballets from dozens of choreographers, including commissioned works, and was known for the yearly Nutcracker in both locations. They also toured globally. Backed by the organization's $10 million endowment, the company is pivoting to a fund for innovation in dance. They will continue to have a presence with scholarships, after-school programs, and dance classes for all ages. In an exclusive interview with KVNF News last week to discuss expansion plans, Colorado Yurt Company CEO and co-owner John Gibson said this.
We're excited about this project and the opportunity to participate in Colorado Outdoors as it was designed to try and make a hub of outdoor manufacturers and distribution companies. And for us to be part of the community and be a cornerstone right on the river and be able to display our products and not only be able to produce our yurts, teepees, and tents here in town, but to be able to share what those look like with people on the trail and the riverfront and be part of almost a park atmosphere is really exciting for us.
The Montrose Press reports the 30,000-square-foot building on a 3-acre site within the Colorado Outdoors development, which would house manufacturing and office space for Colorado Yurt, is also intended to include a display village along the north end of the river trail to show off various models of teepees and yurts. In addition to short-term construction labor, the project could create dozens of permanent new jobs. The current estimate is the relocation would allow the business to add somewhere between 37 and 60 new employees over the next 3 years. Mayfly Outdoors founder David Dragoo told the newspaper the facility would increase capacity and lower lead times, allowing Colorado Yurt Company to service more customers. He said, quote, production-wise, it'll be a tremendous improvement, adding one of the goals for the Colorado Outdoors area is job creation. Dragoo said, quote, one of the main jobs was to create a compelling environment for businesses and create jobs, and it's really a fulfillment of that. Montrose City Council members will review and consider the Yurt Company's requested incentive package facilitated by City Manager Bill Bell at an upcoming regular council meeting. Colorado Yurt Company hopes to break ground on a new headquarters this summer. Colorado ranchers face many obstacles around meat processing, and Colorado State University is offering a free webinar on Thursday called New Opportunities and Collaborations for Colorado's Meat Processing Sector. KVNF's Corey Stanton has the story.
Colorado State University, the Colorado Department of Agriculture, and other ag partners join forces to improve statewide food systems and to promote collaboration in Colorado's meat processing sector. To learn more about the upcoming webinar, KVNF spoke with Becca Jablonski, Food Systems Extension Economist and Assistant Professor in the Department of Agriculture and Resource Economics at CSU.
We've been receiving a lot of calls from around the state, including on the Western Slope, from both ranchers that are challenged in finding appropriately scaled and available meat processing. And then we've also been hearing from interest from different entrepreneurs in starting meat processing facilities. So this is fantastic that we're hearing of this interest because, of course, we're hearing from ranchers of the need for it. But we're a little bit concerned because, number one, many folks don't know how to get started, right? They don't understand the USDA inspection process and all that's entailed. And number two is that if all of the different individuals that have called start businesses, we don't think all of them can be successful. And our latest effort is really around identifying new opportunities and collaborations for Colorado's meat processing sector. And so we're holding a webinar on this topic on March 11th from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. The event's going to start with Steve Blunt, who's the program administrator for the Colorado Department of Agriculture. So he's going to talk about what is the difference between a custom exempt facility and a USDA inspected facility, and what does that mean in terms of where and how you can sell your meat if you're a rancher. If you're interested in starting a facility, what does it mean to consider these two different types of inspection systems? Then he's also going to talk about some of the trends that he's seen around meat processing, because we have seen that there are a few new meat processing facilities that have opened during the pandemic. Next, we're going to have Rebecca Thistlewaith, who's the director of the Niche Meat Processor Assistance Network. This is a fantastic organization that is based at Oregon State University, but it's a national organization. They have a really active listserv, and they have a fantastic website. They have layouts of different plants that would work to help save somebody money who's interested in starting a facility. Then we're going to have Jerry Sonnenberg come, and he's going to actually talk about a bill that he's proposed, which is SB 21-079. If you want to go and look it up, basically it proposes to have different types of legislation for meat processing, really to try to make it a little bit easier for meat processors in the state. And so he's going to talk about that. Next, we're going to have Dr. Jennifer Martin, who's an assistant professor in the Department of Animal Sciences at Colorado State University. And she actually is in a new role for CSU, where she does extension around meat safety and quality and really provides support for some of the meat processors in the state. She helps to work with the Colorado Association of Meat Processors, which is the Association for Small and Mid-Scale Meat Processors. And so she's going to talk a little bit about that organization. And then we are going to have PJ Howe, who is a loan specialist for the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development, who's based in Craig, Colorado. And he's going to talk about different types of grant and loan resources that are available from the USDA Rural Development, because there really are a lot of resources that are available. And so we want to make sure that Coloradans who are interested in starting these facilities can get connected to them. And some of them are specific for ranchers who are interested in adding value, and then others are for more small and mid-scale businesses. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about a new grant program that's being developed by the USDA Ag Marketing Service, specifically for existing processors. And then lastly, Mark Gallegos, who's also with the Colorado Department of Agriculture, is going to facilitate a discussion talking about continuing needs, resources, and opportunities for coordination. I really hope that many of you who are interested in this topic can join us. I think that there's going to be interesting and useful information both for ranchers, you know, who are in need of access to more meat processing facilities, who are trying to figure out, you know, what the difference is in the different types of processors, the custom exempt versus USDA, and also for individuals who are interested in either starting a meat processing facility or scaling up an existing one.
For more information on CSU's March 11th webinar, new opportunities and collaborations for Colorado's meat processing sector, visit the events tab at foodsystems.colostate.edu. For KVNF, I'm Corey Stanton.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Special thanks to reporter Kate Redman, and thank you.